Bibles, please, for our first reading to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taketh him up into an high mountain, and showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is this not Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias or Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus, Son of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So Luke chapter 4 is very similar to Matthew chapter 4 in some respects. First of all, we have Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, being driven into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, both in Luke 4 and in Matthew chapter 4. They have a different order of the temptations, but they do have the same temptations and the same responses from our Lord Jesus Christ. So that teaches us that we don't need to worry about the order. The Lord did not see fit to put them in a particular order from one gospel to the next, so that must not be an item of importance. What is important, however, is the three temptations and the three means, the three methods that Jesus used, or the one method that Jesus used to turn back each of those temptations. So in Luke's gospel, as in Matthew's, we read that Jesus fasted 40 days. Let us remember that Jesus did not fast to put himself in a position of weakness so that he might beat Satan in his weakest point. He fasted so that he would be in the place of the greatest strength through not indulgence but self-denial, strengthened his spirit. Let us not think that if we're continually indulging ourselves that we're going to be spiritually the stronger. Most likely, we will be spiritually the weaker. But if we are doing what Jesus said, that is denying ourselves, we will find that to be more conducive to strengthening in the soul. So Jesus fasts 40 days in preparation of that great contest. This is, we ought to think of Adam in a cushy garden with all of the blessings of God, well fed, well watered, beautiful plants, a wonderful wife, all of those things standing in support of Adam in the garden. And what did he do? He fell. Jesus in the wilderness without food, without a wife, without any earthly comforts, without any of those things, right? And what did he do? He rose. He triumphed. So we are to think in those terms. This is the second Adam meeting the tempter in his hour of trial and indeed triumphs. We'll see a second particular hour of trial, won't we, in the Garden of Gethsemane and then finally on the cross. And Jesus triumphs at every turn because he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. All right, so the first temptation is hitting him where his knees are weak, right? make these stones or this stone bread. I remember preaching a sermon on this passage once. And I remember one of those phrases that's memorable. It's stuck with me. Maybe it hasn't stuck with you. I don't know. But it stuck with me. Why are we so concerned about bread? Make these stones bread. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God is how Matthew says it. Tantamount to the same thing. By every word of God. That's what we live by. Right? Remember what Paul says about those Judaizers in Philippians chapter 3. No, 2. No, 3. I don't remember. 2 or 3. He says about them that their God is their belly. Remember that? There were a couple of Puritan divines that picked up on that phrase, and there are a couple of sermons that you can find if you go search for them against belly worship. Belly worship. Right? Whose God is their belly. So, make these stones bread. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice that this was Jesus' course in his life. His disciples came to him in John 4, when he was speaking to the woman of Samaria at the well of Jacob. And they said, did you get something to eat? And he said, I have meat you don't know anything about. And they said, who brought him something to eat? What's this all about? And he's talking about, my meat is to do the will of my Father that sent me. So, Jesus tells us where that focus truly is. And remember, Jesus answers out of the stock and store of Scripture. He answers from his mind with the Bible. I don't think Jesus had his iPhone there. Hold on, let me look this up on my app. It was memorized. And so here it comes out. It's there at ready in Jesus' mind. All right, the devil then took him up to a high mountain, showed him all of the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. He said, it'll all be yours. I'll give it to you. You don't even have to die. In my economy, you don't have to suffer. Just worship me, and that's it. You'll have all the kingdoms. In my economy, I'm a much easier master, and so on. And what did Jesus say? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Once again, answering from Scripture. Third, the devil takes him up to the top of the temple. Throw yourself off, for it is written. Notice, devil says, I can quote Scripture too. It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answers what? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, which means thou shalt not act presumptuously. Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God to see whether or not his promises are true. Don't hazard your life thinking, hey, God's in the life-saving business. And notice also that Satan is quoting from Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, that's where it says, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up, lest thou dashest thy foot against a stone. But the next verse says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Right? Who is the adder? I'm sorry, the dragon and the adder. Who is the dragon and who is the adder? In other words, Satan imbibes himself in a little bit of selective quotationism here. But the rounder context of the passage speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, being born up by angels. Yes, being cared for in all of his ways. And yes, triumphing over the devil, not falling and bowing before him. So, three times Jesus is asked a question or given a temptation, and three times our Lord responds with Scripture, and we should follow his example. All right, so then moving on from there, notice that Jesus returned from the wilderness, went into Galilee, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. In verse 16, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and this phrase is very important, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Jesus was a teacher in Israel. He was a recognized teacher. And so when he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, which was his custom, yes, the one who wrote the Bible, just think with me for a minute on this. The one who wrote the Bible, the one out of all men upon the face of the earth, if there was ever anyone that didn't need to go to church, it was Christ. What rather, though, was his habit? Every Sabbath day, he was in church. Right? Every Sabbath day. And so he stood up to read, and he receives the scroll of Isaiah, and he turns in Isaiah to a very particular place. He's looking for a passage. 61, 1 and following. And he reads it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the meek, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, heal, or release the captives, proclaim liberty to the captives, and so on, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, loosely paraphrased. And then he closes the book and gives it back to the minister, the guy that handled the scroll. And then he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. It's an amazing word. I'm the Messiah. That's what he's saying. I am the Messiah. I am your Messiah. I'm here. You have been waiting for me. I have come. Hear me. Listen to me. I'm proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm preaching the gospel. Listen to me. Hear me. And they all, it says that they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. All right, so then they said, okay, well, the word is not enough. We need a little bit more. We've heard about some of the things you did in Capernaum. We want you to do those here too. And Jesus says, well, you know, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. A double negative, right? So in other words, a prophet is without honor in his own country. And this proves out, right? Because haven't they said, well, hold on. This guy claiming to be the Messiah, he's Joseph's son. He grew up here, right? He can't be the Messiah. He's grown up here. So give us a sign and then maybe we'll believe. And so Jesus says, if you're looking for signs, there are a couple of things that I want you to remember. That in the days of Elijah and Elisha, there were many that were needy in Israel. In Elijah's day, he was sent to a widow of Zarephath. In other words, outside Israel. And in Elisha's day, there were lots of lepers within Israel, but only one was healed. He was Naaman, the Syrian. Can you hear the bump, bump, bomb in the background? In other words, Jesus is telling them, here's what's going on. There was a prophet that came to Israel, and he did have the signs. He did have the power. He made a widow's cruse to bring forth oil, and an empty barrel to bring forth bread. And he shut up the rain so that it did not rain. And then he prayed again and it rained in such abundance that it was almost like a flood. He did come with signs. In other words, you have been the recipients of good teaching and signs and you didn't hear. And so what happened in that day? The Lord went somewhere else. He went outside. He went outside the nation to Zarephath. And in Elisha's day, there were lots of lepers, but only one was cleansed. Naaman the Syrian. They weren't applying to the prophet. They weren't seeking that sign. They weren't seeking the good that could be done unto them. They sought everywhere else instead. And so Jesus is inferring, this is the acceptable year of the Lord, and if you're not careful, you just might miss it. If you're not faithful, it might pass you by. If you don't recognize the day of your visitation, the kind of visitation you will receive does not bring peace, but a sword. And brothers and sisters, I think this is a viable word for God's church in all ages. In all ages. That we ought to be thinking every time we hear the word of God, is it taking root in me? Am I giving the Lord cause to go somewhere else? Am I treating his word in such a way that it is not finding a home so that it will find a home somewhere else? Those people in that day, they got so mad that they took Jesus and they were ready to throw him off the cliff. And he passed through their midst and escaped. This is what a kind of spiritual pride does to us. Pastor, I've heard all those Bible stories. I know all of those doctrines. Yes, maybe you do. But have they found a home in you? Have you embraced them? Are they yours? Do you own them? So then we see in this very next passage that he went to Capernaum, and here we are right in the middle of the synagogue, and guess who's in the synagogue? Well, a man possessed with a devil. You wouldn't expect that in the synagogue, would you? See, but the nature of the church has always been that there will be believers and unbelievers gathered. And so here's a man that is in the synagogue, and he's devil-possessed, and Jesus casts out that devil. And sending him out then, they were all amazed and spoke among themselves. And they said, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Sounds like in Capernaum, where he was, where he did not grow up, he had a more ready hearing than we heard there in Nazareth. All right, so then in verses 38 and following, he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and we have the healing of Simon Peter's mother. And like the healings that Christ is usually performing in the Gospels, we see that it is immediate. It is complete. There is no money exchanged. There is no superstition involved. No, what happens is she is healed, she is raised up, and she begins to serve. Right then. No recovery time. And she rises from her sickness with complete thankfulness to Christ, such that she seeks an avenue of service. Rather than, okay, now that I've been healed, let me just teach you all. Now that I've been healed, let me do whatever it is that I want to do. Let me tell you about my story. Let's make it about me. No, she doesn't make it about herself at all. As soon as she is healed, she raises up and, according to her place and station, begins to serve. She returns to her duty. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? And a great testimony from the mother of Simon Peter. All right, then in verse 40... such an interesting thing that we often miss if we read it by too quickly. What day is it? It's the Sabbath day. Now, in Jewish parlance, what that means is that it was sometime between Friday evening and Saturday evening. It was probably a Saturday afternoon when they met for their afternoon worship on the Sabbath day in the synagogue in Capernaum. And there was a superstition that took place in that day that held the people under bondage, and that was that the Pharisees and the scribes had forbidden people from coming to Christ to be healed on the Sabbath. They were accusing the Lord Jesus of breaking the Sabbath by healing on the Sabbath. Of course, Jesus refuted that, but they still were unconvinced. And so what the people would do on the Sabbath day, rather than to come to Christ during the day, after the sun went down, they would come to Christ so that they would avoid the accusation of the Pharisees. You see the bondage, the superstitious bondage that the Pharisees exercised over the people. And so after the sun went down, it says, that they brought their sick unto Christ, that they brought their diseased unto Christ. And so he healed them, cast out those devils. And then, when it was day, that is the following day, so this would be the first day of the week, what we would call a Sunday, because their Sabbath in the Old Testament was on Saturday, Friday night and Saturday. On the next day, he departed and went to a desert place, and notice, the people sought him. The people sought him. They couldn't get enough of him. They sought after him even after the Sabbath day was over. Not only do we have difficulty with that today, people seeking the Lord for the entirety of the Sabbath, but in that day they sought him the day after the Sabbath as well, because they simply could not get enough. They wanted more. And so they sought him, they came unto him, and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And so Jesus continued his ministry of preaching and teaching. Of course, we assume when it says in the synagogue that he continued that custom that we read about in the first couple of verses, that he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he preached. Thus ends the reading then of Luke chapter 4.